Okay, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for all the rich blessings accompanying this gathering. Father, we ask that your will would be done here. Father, that you would glorify yourself here. Father, that you would do a mighty work, an eternal work for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Many weeks ago, I realized that I would be speaking Sunday afternoon after lunch, and that's a real challenge because you've been here for a couple of days already, and your bellies are full, and it's hot, and it's rough. So I decided to lighten it up quite a bit. I'll say right at the beginning that I tried to aim at the younger children, at the little kids. So forgive me if I insult your intelligence. I'm sorry. Maybe by the end you'll realize why I had the urge to do what I did. Did you all get dessert today? How was it? Good. There's actually a lot more older folks in here than there are kids. I think I'll start out by just finding a volunteer. I don't know who to pick on. Maybe I'll pick on Christina. You don't even have to stand up. Are you okay with that? All right. So, first off, I'm just going to give you a couple of options here. I'd like to give you something. It might not be something you like, but I'd like to give you the option of taking something from me. I'm going to give you two choices, and you just have to tell me which of those two choices you would like to have. Okay, there's one choice. And here's the other choice. So there are your two choices. Could you see those okay? Now, which one of those, if you could only take one of those, which one would you take? Would you take the one on your left or the one on your right? It doesn't matter. Cora, do you have a strong opinion? Well, I didn't really say it, did I? But, you know, you can just, based on how they look, and I don't know, which one would you pick? This one? You'd pick the rocks. Okay. Now, why would... You didn't know what they were. Okay. How about... And what's your name? I forget. Harmony. Which one would you pick? This one? And why would you pick this one? Because you like chocolate. Ah... So what you're saying is this, what does this one look like? It looks like rocks. And you're thinking this one looks like chocolate, right? And so you'd pick the chocolate because you can't eat rocks, right? So, yeah, I had to find a volunteer that gave me the answer I wanted. But, yeah. So... She's picking this one because she likes chocolate. Could I have you come up here? I'll go. I forget. Is it Hope or Harmony? Harmony. Okay. Now you can just hold this. Now pretend you have big brothers, right? Okay. Now let's say one of your big brothers walks into the room and he sees that jar in your hand. And he says, "Hey, give me that." Would you give it to him? You'd give him some. You'd definitely share with him. So, well, let's switch it around. So if you were standing in the living room and you were holding that jar and your brother came up to you and he says, "Hey, give me that jar." Would you give it to him? How much? Now, you would only give him some of these and you're going to give him all of those? Why? Because you don't want any rocks. Yeah. Okay. So there's some perceived value in this jar. She likes Harmony likes chocolate. And so if her brother came along and demanded this, she would be nice, she'd share with him, but ultimately, she still wants some of this chocolate for herself because she likes chocolate. Okay. Now, when the rocks, if she had a jar of rocks and her brother came by and said, "Give me those rocks," she'd say, "Sure, go for it." In fact, you could even open this up and just give them to him one at a time, right? So, in that respect, there's some value in these, too. So this jar looks good, it looks valuable, it looks like it's worth something. This one doesn't really have much value. We can find rocks anywhere we want. They're probably out in your own driveway. If you want them, you can get them, but nobody really wants rocks anyway. I'm going to have you open this up, and you can unwrap one of those. Does anybody else want to unwrap a couple? So what'd you find, Harmony? You found a rock! You like honesty. So what did you guys get? Can you eat that for me? Okay, I'll take that. Now, I guess I can keep, you can stay up here if you want to keep shucking these. And what we'll do, you can just put the rocks in here. We don't really need this stuff. So, what she found out here is that this jar is pretty much the same as this jar, it just looks a lot better. Now, you said that earlier, just a few seconds ago, you said if you had that jar and your brother asked for it from you, that you'd probably share it with him. Do you think you would share it with him now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you like give him the whole thing? Because there's no chocolate in there, right? Okay, yes, you've got a whole jar of wrapped rocks. And it started out, that jar had some value, it had some worth, and with that value and worth, you're unwilling to share it, you're unwilling to give it away. As soon as you find out that the jar has very little or no value, that it's actually just rocks, you're very willing to give it away. And of course, chocolate does. It tastes good. I mean, a jar like that could last Harmony a few days, or she could make friends if it was chocolate. You know, she could give it to people. This is where I'd like to try to draw a parallel. There are a lot of people, most people I would say, most humans today, they go through life like this. They look good. They look valuable. They look at themselves and they see that they have virtue. And what's interesting is even the people around them will look at them and say, you're a hard worker. You're an honest person. You're a good person. And a lot of people, they have a lot of excuses. You know, they can say, well, they have a lot of reasons why they're good people. And like I said, maybe one reason is that they are a hard worker. Maybe they worked at the mill for 30 years and they've only called in sick 2 days. So that's a good thing. Maybe they've never cheated on their wife. So that's a pretty good thing. Maybe they always pay their bills on time. You know, maybe they're the kind of person that makes sure the dishes are always washed and the floor is always swept. So that's a good thing. They always try to be fair to their children as much as possible. And these people, they know that lying is wrong, so they would never, well, they try not to lie, right? They only lie when it's beneficial for somebody else. And they also believe that stealing is wrong. They don't really steal except maybe when they do their taxes. They might not be honest about everything. But they have a whole list of reasons why they're good people. Not only do they work hard and pay their bills, but maybe they give money to charity. And so that's another good thing they can say about their lives. Maybe they volunteer at the food pantry. Again, another good thing in their life. Different people have different standards, but maybe another standard people have is they just know that alcohol is very, very bad and that drinking in the bar scene is wrong. And maybe they think that nasty rock music is bad. And they think tattoos are bad, and smoking is terrible for you, and, you know, maybe they even attend church every Sunday, or at least regularly. They probably believe in God, right? They don't necessarily always do what God wants them to do, but they pray. They pray especially when they need money, or they need help, or they're in big trouble, they'll pray. And maybe they pray when they need forgiveness, you know. If they've done something really bad and they're feeling really guilty, they'll ask God for forgiveness. And the list goes on and on and on. Each person has their own reasons why they're a good person. Some of these people, they believe that prejudice and racism is wrong. Everybody should be treated equal. So there's all kinds of reasons. And what it boils down to is their whole life, if this jar were their life, their whole life looks like it's full of good things. And the trouble is nobody's perfect, right? And if somebody were to walk around and say, well, my life is good, I don't have any problems, we'd say they were a liar, right? Because nobody's perfect. And when somebody starts saying they're perfect, we know they're not being honest with themselves. So a lot of people, they're willing to admit that they have a couple sins. They might say, well, you know, I smoke, and I know I shouldn't be smoking, and I need to stop smoking. It's bad for me. Or I have a real weakness for trashy television shows, and I really shouldn't be watching that kind of bad stuff. Maybe they drink too much. Maybe they know they're lazy. Maybe they know it's hard to get motivated. You know, maybe they go to the casino once a month, but they always go with only, you know, $100. And when the $100 is gone, then they go home. And so what you end up with is a person who's mostly good, right? They have most of that good stuff, and then they got their little three sins sitting here on top that they're willing to admit to or willing to confess to. Now, what does God think of this kind of a person? What does God think of the kind of a person that thinks they're mostly good and, yeah, they're willing to admit to a couple sins, and they'll even tell their friends about it? It's interesting. You can walk up to somebody like this who's pretty satisfied with their life, and you can say, you know, you need to become a Christian. You really need to give your life to Christ. And a lot of times they're not really interested. You know, they say, well, why do I need Christ? You know, my life is mostly pretty good. You know, these couple problems I have, they're not really a big deal. I mean, compared to, I don't need Jesus, you know? And God wants them to become a Christian. He wants them to get saved. But they're just not ready for it yet. A lot of these people, you'll ask them, are you going to heaven? And they'll say, yeah, God's a good God, and God will look into my life, and he'll see all of the good things that I have, and he'll see that the good in my life is a lot more than the couple bad things in my life. So I think when I die and get to heaven, God's going to, he'll be fair. He'll let me in. He'll be nice to me. And that's how they think they're going to go to heaven. This isn't going to work, though, you know? God knows everything. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. And God looks at a person like that, and he says, how can I convince this person to give their life to me? Now, what God knows is that every one of these little shiny packages are actually a rock in the middle. And that the person whose life it is, they don't realize that they're a jar full of rocks. And so God has to start unwrapping their little packages and saying, I need to start showing you who you really are. Because you don't even know who you are. You don't even know that your life is a mess. Because you can't even see it. How does God... You could say, how does God start taking the wrappers off of somebody's life? If God wanted to show somebody their sins, how would he do that? Well, one person could say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes into that person's life and starts convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment, like the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit also has a tool. And what is the tool of the Holy Spirit? It's the Word of God. It says it's the sword of the Spirit, right? So, this person, you know, they can hold up a virtue. They can say, well, look at this. I have a good thing in my life. And as they expose themselves to the Word of God and to a preacher or to their godly neighbors, people that are telling them the truth, the Word of God is going to slowly start unwrapping their life. For example, maybe this person has a real hatred problem. There's somebody in their life they just can't stand, and they wish bad things would happen to them. And so they have all this bitterness and hatred for this person. But maybe this person is reading the Bible. And as they read the Bible, they come across a verse like Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And maybe they hate this person so bad that they start talking bad about them and spreading rumors. They may even tell lies about them just so everybody thinks that they're bad. But in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this person hates somebody, and as they expose themselves to the Bible, to the Word of God, they find out that deep in their heart, they have some hatred, right? And so the Word of God is starting to show them that hatred in their life. And they can't hide it. It's starting to unwrap the rocks in their life. Another thing it talks about here in Ephesians is wrath and anger and clamor. Maybe this person has a temper problem. Maybe they get mad and they throw things and they yell and they scream. And as they're reading through the Bible, they find out that it's wrong to be that angry where you're yelling and throwing things. And again, the Word of God is starting to expose who they are. It's starting to expose their sin. Woo. And of course, Jesus Christ teaches us in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So that is the highest standard. God wants us to love each other. He wants us to love each other in the same way that He has loved us. He also says, it also says in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And there again, the Bible is starting to show them their sin, even though it's covered up so well. Something I was thinking of, things that I struggled with when I was young. I was a terrible, terrible little boy. And one of the things that I'm guilty of is lying, right? And what happens when your mother walks into the living room and there's a mess all over the floor and it was you? It was your mess and you made it. And your mother says, did you make this mess? And you tell her, no. What is that? That's a lie, isn't it? So that may be another thing in your life that God has to show you, that lying is a sin. And of course, Revelation 21:8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one by one, as you spend time in church, as you spend time listening to the preacher, as you spend time listening to your godly parents, as you spend time reading the Bible, it's going to slowly expose all of the bad things in your life, all of the rottenness in there. Of course, as a child, we live at home with our parents, and our parents are going to ask us to do things, and sometimes we don't think that we have to do what our parents are asking us to do. And that's disobedience. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So, as a child, one of our responsibilities is to do what our parents ask us to do, as long as it's a good, right thing to do. We need to obey our parents. And there again, the Word of God is showing us every time we disobey our parents that we're filled with sin and bad things. Another temptation as a child is maybe you go to a store, and in that store there's lots of big bins of candy or gum, and maybe nobody's around. So you look both ways, and you grab some candy, and you put it in your pocket, and you leave without paying for it. That would be stealing. And of course, the Bible says that stealing is also wrong. Mark 7:22 says that thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. That would be theft. You know, maybe you're over at your friend's house and they have a nice new toy or a gadget and you really, really want it. You wish you had it. So when your friend's not looking, You take the toy and you put it in your pocket and you take it home. Again, that's also a sin. Eventually, as you spend time with the Word of God, as you spend time listening to good preachers, listening to parents, you're going to find out that your whole life is just rocks. It's just dirty, dirty rocks. Because the Word of God is going to slowly unwrap all of those packages and you have nothing left to hide. Now, this puts us in a good place. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Do you know that the Apostle Paul himself actually got to a point where he looked into his life and he says, "I'm nothing but dirty rocks"? The Apostle Paul himself got to a point in his life where he realized there wasn't anything good in him. In Romans 7, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now, there's different compromises you could do here. You could look at your life, and you could say, "Well, Brandon, I'm mostly rocks, but I still have these two things in my life that I'm better at than anyone else. I still have these two virtues in my life that nobody else has." You're pretty close. The trouble is, let me just switch this out for a second. If I were to put one, and this is real chocolate, by the way. If I were to put one real chocolate in here and walk up to Harmony, she loves chocolate, by the way, which one would you like? Okay. Now, why would you like that one, Harmony? It has one good thing left in it, so it's still valuable to you. That's exactly right. So if your brother came by and says, "Hey, give me that jar," what would you tell him? You'd say, "Well, maybe let me take the chocolate first," right? So you're still going to hang on to it because there's still that one good piece of chocolate in there. And I think that's one big problem that I suspect. I'm not God, but I suspect that's a big problem in some Christians' lives. They know that they're sinners, but way down deep, there's still that little piece of chocolate. And that little piece of chocolate causes so much trouble because they look at that and they say, "There's still hope. There's still something good in there that I can hang on to." And it prevents you from becoming sick of yourself. It prevents you from really surrendering the way God wants you to surrender. So there again, I have to switch this back. That last one has to go. That would be the ideal. That would be the ideal. You want to get that last one unwrapped, and then you can say, like the Apostle Paul says, "There is no good thing in me." And of course, Romans 3 says, we're all sinners. We're all running from God. Our lives are filled with evil things. So this would be the ideal, to get to a point where you see all of your sin, all of your badness. And that's where God wants you. Because then you will freely give your life to God. Now, when you give your life to God, God really doesn't want this stuff in there. It's kind of clogging it up. It's worthless. But God will also, some of us, hopefully all of us, will get you to a point where you don't even want this stuff, right? And so you say, "God, take this. Get this out of here. I'm sick of this." And that's where God is going to empty it out. and clean you up. And of course, that's through the blood of Christ. But now God can use you. Yeah, you can't really use a jar that's full of something. I mean, would you like... you could put some water in there and drink it. How does that sound? No. When you're full of crud, God's not interested. You know, He can't really use you like that. So you want to make sure that you give yourself to God. Let God empty you of all that stuff. And then God is the one that is going to actually shine in you and through you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. We're merely a shell. We're a temple for the Spirit of God. So, what is the most important thing in the setup? It's the flame, right? If there was no flame, this would be just another ordinary jar. But once you put a flame in there, you know, you're starting to set the atmosphere. It's getting romantic and fun and pleasant. And it's valuable, but the value comes not from the glass jar, but because of the fire that's in it. And that's the same with you and I as humans. Our value is not because we're full of delightful things, because we're not. Our value comes when we empty ourselves of all of our bad things and let God live in us. I think something that drove me to this topic was in the last few months I've been thinking back about something that happened when I was a little boy. And I don't know about you, but I often wonder, why was I born in America? Why was I born to parents that attended church and believed in God? Why wasn't I born in some dark jungle that knew nothing about God? It makes me very, very grateful. And as a little boy, I hadn't really come to understand this concept. But there was a time where I think I was very ripe for this lesson. It's possible I could have got saved at a really young age if somebody had just explained this to me. And that's kind of why I chose to talk about this today, because even if you're a youngster here, you might be ready to become a Christian. You might be ready to get saved. Let me tell that story. I was the oldest child in my family, so that means that, you know, when I was 4 or 5, I had to find my own games and keep myself occupied. And, of course, my brother was 3 years behind me, but he was probably so little I didn't even notice him. And I remember way, way back when I was a little boy, I made my mother cry. And I've made my mother cry a couple times in my life because of how bad that I've been. And so, growing up on a dairy farm, it was in the evening, and my mother, her job was to milk the cows twice a day. She worked very hard, and she was already in the barn that evening, and I had already managed to do something horrifying. I have no idea what, but it was bad. And she yelled at me to get into the barn, and of course, the barn you have those black and white Holstein cows down both sides of the barn. And down the middle you have that aisle in the center of the barn. And there was some hay there in the middle of the barn. And my mother was in tears because I was being so disobedient. And she said, "I want you to sit there on that hay." She wasn't nearly as calm as I am right now. She said, "I want you to sit there on that hay, and I want you to think about what you're doing." She said, I want you to figure out, how are you gonna be good? How are you gonna listen to me when I ask you to do something?" And I did. I sat there on the hay in the middle of the barn and I thought. And it takes at least 45 minutes to milk all the cows we had at the time, maybe an hour. And I just sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And do you know what was going through my mind? I was sitting there saying, you know, I really have been rotten. It scared me that my mother was in tears. I said, I really have been rotten. I really haven't been listening to her. And deep in my soul, I realized I didn't want to listen to her. I started to see how bad I really was. I started to see, if it's up to me to be good, if it's up to me to be obedient to my mother, it's never going to happen. I can't. I don't have the ability to be good. I don't have the ability to listen to my mother. One of the thoughts that crossed my mind was something that I got out of a library book. At that age, I was very interested in Native Americans and all the ways that they learn to live off the land and make the tools they need to get the food they need to stay alive. And at that young age, I heard a story of an Indian tribe that apparently, when a man's wife was unruly, he would just slice off the tip of her finger, or he'd slice off the tip of her nose, and that was supposed to help her be a better wife, right? And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm getting desperate. I'm trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to listen to my mother? How am I going to be a good person? And I'm even starting to toy with this idea. Well, maybe if my mother would just slice off a piece of my finger, maybe then I would listen to her when she asked me to do something. Maybe if my mother sliced off a piece of my nose, maybe then I would listen to her and be good. Well, I sat there for that 45 minutes, and I didn't really say anything, because it just wasn't possible. It wasn't possible for me to be good. And when she was nearing the end, when she was on the last couple of cows, she turned to me and asked me what I had to say. And I said, I didn't know. And her response was, how about you just do what I ask you to do when I ask you to do it? I was like, oh, that's simple. But you know, there's a better answer. I think it's possible that if in that moment somebody had walked in to me, I don't know if I was 6 years old or what, and said, Brandon, you're a sinner. You have a sin nature inside of you. You have a desire to do bad things. You have a desire to do what's wrong. And the only way you're going to get through life being good, doing what your mother wants you to do, doing what God wants you to do, the only way to get through life is to surrender your life to Christ right now. Something tells me I might have actually listened to them. And that's why I want to talk to you guys about this today. I was a bad person. Still am. Very bad. God saved me. God saved me not because I'm good, but because I'm a horrible person, and He knew that if He didn't save me, I'd be a mess the rest of my life. As a youngster, I'd sit in church. Maybe as a teenager, I'd sit in church, and I'd always feel like I was the worst person in the room, because of how sinful my life was. But I have good news for you. Is there anybody here who's sitting there and you're saying, I'm the worst person in the room? Is there anybody here that at this point in their life, they're starting to see that they're really not being as good as God wants them to be? Is there a person here who knows they're not obedient to their parents the way they ought to be? Is there somebody here who knows they lie? And it seems like no matter how hard you try to stop lying, it's just not working. Are you having a hard time doing what your parents want you to do? Are you having a hard time doing what God wants you to do? You're the person that Jesus Christ is talking to. Jesus Christ says, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The good people in this room, they don't need Jesus. They do, but they can't see it. So in that respect, if you're a bad person and you know you're a bad person, you're a million miles ahead of the good person in the room because you already know who you are. Jesus loves the bad people. He loves the horrible people. He loves the people that have made a mess out of their lives. He loves the people that are trying to be good and they can't. And he has a solution for those people. Jesus knows all the things that you've been struggling with. He knows all the mistakes you've made. He knows all the failures. But do you know what? Do you know that that doesn't make Jesus love you any less? He loves the most rotten, filthy, naughty people on the planet. Jesus is simply asking for you to be honest. Are you one of these? Or are you one of these? And if you're one of these, you're close to going to heaven. You're close to getting saved. He says the publicans and the harlots are going to enter the kingdom of heaven before you, before the Pharisees, because they already know who they are. Are you a bad person? Are you a horrible person? Are you failing? Just give it to Christ. Let Christ be in charge. Let Christ empty you of all of your filth. And let Christ live inside of you. The Bible says we need to love one another. The Bible says we need to be holy. The Bible says we need to be perfect. We need to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. We need to be dozens and dozens of things. And an honest person is going to look inside of their life and say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is love? The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is tender-hearted. The Lord Jesus Christ has that belief, that faith, that perfection. And the only way for you and I to accomplish the will of God in our lives is to let Christ fill us. Because then Christ will be loving inside of us. Christ will be forgiving inside of us. Christ will be obedient inside of us. If you're a bad person, there's hope. Give yourself to Christ. Let Christ be in charge of you. Don't hold back. The Bible says, come unto me, and Jesus Himself says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 John 1:9, and you know, that word labor, you could interpret that so many ways. But there came a point in my life where this was labor. I was looking at all those dirty rocks in my life and I was sick of it. And Christ says, come to me, I will give you rest. I'll set you free from your filth. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. that's all I have for you. But I just want to reassure you, if you do feel like a bad person, if you feel like you're worse than anyone else you know, if you can see that you're not living up to God's standards, you're exactly the person that Jesus Christ wants. All He wants is that sacrifice, that surrender. Give it to Him. And look and watch what He does for you. He'll save you in an amazing way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do ask that Your Spirit would be able to move mightily and freely in each person's heart and mind. Father, convicting of sin. Father, saving people's souls. Father, I also ask that You would, if there's somebody here who's thinking about this, I pray that You would just help them to find You completely, thoroughly. Father, anoint the rest of our day. Anoint everything we do. We just bless the rest of the meetings today. Amen. Let's dismiss.